Many times in my life, and I'm sure many times in yours, you've shared about some difficulties that you've gone through, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you're not someone that shares. That's okay. And as you share those things with a friend or a family member or someone that you're close with, you hear the words, "I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you." And if you're skeptical, or maybe a little bit cynical, you wonder, do they actually? I know at times in my life when I'm feeling pressured or busy, or maybe you're wanting a conversation to come to an end because you've sat with that person for what you feel like is too long, you say, "I'll pray for you." It's a way to put an end to it and move on. And sometimes saying, "I'll pray for you," that is the prayer. In the busyness of your life, in the busyness of the world around you, you forget that you even made that claim. And as we have conversations and we hear the weights and the burdens that people carry, we respond with, "I'll pray for you." We know we should do it. That's why we say it. We know that we should be people who pray. And sometimes it's the only thing we know what to say. If you sit with someone who loses a child or experiences loss of any kind, if you sit with someone who's experiencing ongoing pain and suffering of some kind, and there's no words except, "I'll pray for you." And as I said earlier, sometimes the prayer is just that. We've been working through this series that is titled "Love One Another." Jesus says to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." We find it in John 13:34. Right here. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another." And we've been working through what this means over the last couple of weeks. What does it mean and what does it look like to love one another? And I would say, and what Tim would say, and what many faithful teachers of the Bible would say, is this means to bear one another's burdens. That we help carry the weight. That's what it means to bear. We carry the weight and the difficulty that this life puts on those around us. And I don't know about you, but when you look out at your friends and your family and you see the brokenness, when you see the weights that exist and the heaviness that is there, many times it seems that there's nothing you can do. So many times I meet with folks and I, in a sense, feel hopeless. What can I do? I can't make a sick person well. I don't have the ability to do that. I can't remove someone's pain, physically or otherwise. I can't make anxiety or depression flee. I can't fix someone's money problems. I can't fix someone's employment problems. I can't make someone see their worth found in Christ and Christ alone. There's so much that I can't do. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that. I want to be able to do something, and the something that I can do, that you can do, that we all can do always, is pray. Not to say, "I'll pray for you," but actually pray. Because we serve a God, we follow a God, we're loved by a God who can do something. So this morning, how can you and I bear one another's burdens well? We can bear one another's burdens in prayer. Our call is to be people who pray, to thank God for the good things, to lay before Him the difficult things. We can bear one another's burdens in prayer. And I have a short passage this morning. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In many translations of the scripture, this title at the beginning of the chapter is to bear one another's burdens. And starting at verse 1, it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What law? Remember, when Jesus is teaching, what is the greatest law? And Jesus says that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and that you would love your neighbor as yourself. In love, we bear one another's burdens. That's how we fulfill the law. So as I said, we need to bear one another's burdens in prayer. And it starts with this verse. We are commanded to bear burdens. You and I, young or old, or anywhere in between, we are commanded to bear burdens. Who wants a Greek lesson? Doesn't that look fun? Bastazo is the Greek used in Galatians 6:2. It means to take up, to carry with hands, or to literally put on oneself. Bear burdens, put them on you. And if we want to talk about parts of speech, this is the present active imperative form. Who hasn't been in an English class in a while? I haven't. Here's what it means. Present. This command comes to us in actual time. Bear one another's burdens. This isn't something you do later or something you did in the past. It's something you do now. Paul is also using an active voice, meaning that the hearer of this verse is supposed to be the doer. So who's the one bearing the burdens? Who's ever hearing the letter? Chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. Guess what? You just heard it. Now you have to do it. You are a hearer. You are supposed to be a doer. And then it's also the imperative form. Do you know what that is? It's to express a command. Kim's loving this. This is like English 101. To express a command. This isn't a suggestion. You know, sometimes in our denomination, they make decisions at synod and they call it like pastoral advice. Like you can use it if you need to. This is not that. This is not just a piece of advice that you can use whenever you feel like it. This is a command from the Apostle Paul. Bear one another's burdens. Take them up. Put them on. Carry them. The Galatians reading this would know exactly what Paul meant. This is active, not passive. This is present, not future or past. And it is not a suggestion, it is a command. And so it comes to you and it comes to me this morning as a command. Brothers and sisters, bear each other's burdens. So when I say we need to bear one another's burdens in prayer, my hope is that we see it as a command. Something that God is telling us to do, not asking us to do. I ask my children at times to clean their room. Eventually I get to the point where I need to tell them to clean their room. There's a difference. We are commanded to bear one another's burdens. Second, we need to see the burdens of others. See the burdens of others. Well, how do we do that? Jesus gives us the greatest example of this throughout his entire life and ministry. I call it practicing presence. And it's rooted here in Philippians. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant. If you have your Bible, underline it. More significant than yourselves. Their needs greater than your needs. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We practice presence. We sit with people. We do life with them. And we see their difficulties, their problems, and their challenges, and we put it in front of our own. Jesus has the unique ability of sitting with people in the mess of life, wherever they are. Whether it's going to the well at the hot of the middle of the day, because you're the most shameful person in the community. Whether it's hearing the blind call out, "Save us, O Son of David," and meeting with them in the private of a room and saying, "Do you believe that I can do this?" Whether it's touching those physically with his own body, those who have leprosy. Jesus practices presence. He sits with people. He speaks with people. He sees their burdens because he's with them. We're so distanced. We have removed ourselves from those around us. We don't see their problems, their challenges, and their burdens. We only see ours. Because we're not practicing presence, we're practicing selfishness. One of Jesus' greatest gifts and greatest examples is that he spent time with people, sitting with them in the burdens and difficulties of life, and practicing the ministry of presence. I'm not perfect at it. But one of the things I try to do on a regular basis is to disciple, to walk alongside others on their journey of faith. And I try to encourage others to do the same. And so often I've met with the fears of, well, what if I don't have the right thing to say? Or what if I just don't do it right? I don't have the answers to some of their questions. I can't disciple someone. I don't know my Bible well enough. And the beauty of discipleship is it isn't necessarily always about what you say. It's about where you are. Do you sit with the person? You know, we felt this so personally and so real as a family last October when my mother died. Like, we just wanted people to be with us. You didn't need to say anything. You didn't need to bring anything. You didn't need to do anything. You just needed to be with us. And if we're going to see other burdens and practice presence, we need to be with other people. This isn't something we do on Facebook or Instagram through YouTube or the news. You have to physically sit with the person. If we want to bear burdens well and bring those burdens in prayer, We need to see them. And in order to see them, we have to spend time with others. We have to sit with them and pray with them. We need to have intimate knowledge of another person's life, of their hardships. Is it required to know them intimately to pray for them? No. But community is far more beautiful and far more complete and far more God-honoring when we take the time to sit with others and bear their burdens from a place of knowledge and understanding because we sat with them in it. I would say this, that practicing presence can help us cure the disease of selfishness. Practicing presence, sitting with others, as Philippians said, putting their needs above your own, can cure the disease of selfishness that is rampant across the globe. We have been born and raised in a society that says, you do you, you get yours, worry about yourself. How often our prayers can be flooded with things that we need for us. And I'm not saying don't bring those things to God. Yes, pray for the things that you need. But so much more should our prayer be focused on the needs of our brothers and sisters around us. We can love one another and bear one another's burdens in prayer. And in so doing, we become less and less selfish. We become selfless. You're commanded, I'm commanded, bear the burdens. To bring them to God, we need to see them. And to see them, we have to practice presence. Finally, we have to be people who actually pray. Sit in that. Do you pray? The mark of God's people from the very beginning has been that they have conversation and community with God. They speak to Him. They pray. How can we grow in our faith and understanding of who God is? If we do not pray, how can we say that we truly love one another if we do not bear their burdens in prayer? Paul gives us a great example, and I want to work through those together. First is Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 5. I thank my God in all of my remembrances of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Who's Paul praying for? Others. The church in Philippi. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. Paul praying again for the church in Corinth. Colossians 1, 3 through 5. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work for the faith and labor of the love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1, 3, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Another one, Philemon 1, 4 through 6, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of your faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Pray for you. I pray for you. I remember you. I pray for you. I pray for you. Paul has a habit of constantly praying for other people. Almost all of his letters begin with, "And I pray, and I remember you." And these aren't people that he's sending random letters to. These are people that Paul sat with. He saw their burdens and their joys. He prayed with them, and now he's praying for them when he's afar. He gives us a perfect example of what I mean to bear one another's burdens in prayer. He actually does it. Do we? Brothers and sisters, it is my hope and my prayer that I actually pray that we become a people who bear one another's burdens well, and that we do it in our prayers, that we show love through prayer, that it isn't about us, that as Philippians says, it is about the other. So here's some application. First, we need to spend time with other people. Whether this is in Bible study or small group or a breakfast that you have with friends, you need to spend time. Time spent is trust built. Trust built provides space for someone to share their burdens. Second, we need to see those things. Sometimes when we look at our friends and our family and we see their difficulty, we're like, they're okay. It's not that bad. They'll be all right. Don't live in that denial. When you see the burden, don't deny the difficulty of it. Live in it with them. Third, pray. Sit with, see the burdens, and then pray for those burdens. And I think we need to change the phrase of "I'll pray for you" to "let's pray right now." It's so easy to say "I'll pray for you" and move on. Let's switch the phrase. "I'll pray for you." Let's pray right now. Don't miss the moments. Pray right now. Just like Galatians said, bear one another's burdens now, pray now. When your friend or your family member or your coworker or the stranger bears their burden, pray now and later. So many times we miss the opportunity. I've missed the opportunity. Let's pray right now. Fourth, write it down and remember. Whether you need to always wear a shirt that has a pocket so you can keep a little notepad in it, write it down and remember. Not for God, he remembers, for you. So that you can practice the discipline of bearing one another's burdens in prayer. Write it down and remember. Reach out to your friends. Reach out to your family member. Ask them how they're doing. Remember. And fifth, keep praying. Prayer is not one and done. Prayer is ongoing. We're told in the scripture to pray without ceasing. We know what it says, but we don't do it. Pray when you drive. Pray when you sit in the quiet of your home. Pray before the meal. Pray after the meal. Pray when you lay down and when you get up. Pray when things are really hard. Pray when it's really good. Pray when the sky is beautiful, and pray when the snow comes. Pray when there's drought. Pray when there's a flood. Keep on praying. It's not supposed to stop. We're supposed to live a life of prayer, constant communication with a God who can do something about the burdens. Paul says it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. One of my favorite verses ever is Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. What a perfect way to end our series on loving one another. If we're going to love one another, we need to bear their burdens. If we're going to bear their burdens well, we need to bring them to God in prayer. We have to sit with them in the difficulties of life. Hear it and do something about it. And oftentimes the only thing you and I can do is pray. But what a powerful thing that we can do. So friends, let's pray. And let's never stop. Amen.